ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम रीडिंग फ्रॉम भगवद गीता चैप्टर 5 टेक्स्ट 22 कर्म योग एक्शन इन कृष्ण कॉन्शियसनेस। ये संपर्सजा भोग दुख यो नाय वते आदि अंतवंत कौन्तेय न तेषु रमते बुधा। ट्रांसलेशन। एन इंटेलिजेंट पर्सन डज नॉट टेक पार्ट इन द सोर्सेस ऑफ मिजरी विच आर ड्यू टू द कॉन्टैक्ट विद द मेटीरियल सेंसेस। ओ सन ऑफ कुंती, such pleasures have a beginning and an end, and so the wise man does not delight in them. Purported by his divine grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Material sense pleasures are due to the contact of the material sense pleasures are due to the contact of the material senses, which are all temporary because the body itself is temporary. A liberated soul is not interested in anything which is temporary. Knowing well the joys of the transcendental pleasures, how can a liberated soul agree to enjoy the false pleasures? In the Padma Purana it is said, Ramante yoginanante satyanande chidatmani इति रामा पदे पदिनासाहो परम ब्रह्मा विवद्यते। द मिस्टेक्स डिराइव अनलिमिटेड ट्रांसेंडल प्लेजर्स फ्रॉम द एब्सोल्यूट ट्रुथ एंड देयरफॉर द सुप्रीम एब्सोल्यूट ट्रुथ द पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड इज आल्सो नोन एज रामा। इन द श्रीमद् भागवतम आल्सो 5.5.1 इट इज सेड, नायम देहो देह बाजम नृलोके कष्टान कामन अर्हते विद्बुजम ये तपो दिव्य पुत्र कायेन सात्वम सुध्येत यस्मात् ब्रह्म सौख्यम त्व अंतम अनंतम। माय डियर सन्स, देयर इज नो रीजन टू लेबर वेरी हार्ड फॉर सेंस प्लेजर विच इन दिस ह्यूमन फॉर्म ऑफ लाइफ सच प्लेजर्स आर अवेलेबल to the stool eaters, hogs. Rather, you should undergo penances in this life by which your existence will be purified. And as a result, you will be able to enjoy unlimited transcendental bliss. Therefore, those who are true yogis or learned transcendentalists are not attracted by sense pleasures, which are the causes of continuous material existence. The more one is addicted to material pleasures, the more he is entrapped by material miseries. Hare Krishna. Seeking the blessings of devotees who are present here, I'll not take much time, but whatever degree of understanding by this verse I could somehow or the other try to study, I brought it in front of you all. So let me present with your blessings. So here, the Supreme Lord, the translation itself you can understand. An intelligent person does not take part in the sources of misery. This is like a sarcastic statement for the materialistic, because the phrase of the sentence could also be, an intelligent person does not take part in the sources of pleasure of the senses. But actually the Lord is saying, an intelligent person does not take part in the sources of misery. This itself is an understanding that the Lord, in the first statement itself, he clarifies that the sense pleasures are not the sources of happiness. It's a source of misery. And the Lord here specifically mentioned the intelligent person. Intelligent man is the one who finds out the source. Normally, like, people are more interested with the object or the result. But an intelligent man will find out what is the source of that object. So, maybe anything may be very fancy or maybe it may be very alluring. But the main concept of an intelligent man is to find out, first find out the source. From where does it come? What is the result? Is it coming from the right source or it is coming from the improper source? The source is very important. So the Lord, with the first statement, it is like a sarcasm, like you can say indirect understanding for even for a not so intelligent person. But if an intelligent man is there, he will immediately understand what is the understanding of this verse. The Lord really clearly says that this is a source of misery. Sense pleasures will never give the source of happiness. This is a source of misery. Actually, some people, materialistic in the sense, or any person not devoted to Krishna consciousness, may not accept this statement with a grateful heart or with an agreement attitude. But the fact is fact. Just one incident long ago in a movement, one of our leaders in Krishna consciousness, he was just narrating his incident in life, that in the early days, like because this person, this sannyasi of a movement, he was coming from a very affluent background. So that time, the news spread all over maximum places and the important places in the United States that this person has taken to Krishna consciousness. So many journalists and many reporters, they came and they started interviewing this person. She said, oh, what is the need that you are taken to Krishna consciousness and everything? He said, the basic understanding that ultimately we should know who we are and what is the purpose of life. This is what we have to know. Then there was a little bit confidential interview. At that time, those reporters, they just took him to the side and they said, we will just ask one final question. Suppose, if we take you to some place, secluded place, far away from the cities, far away from the sight of the people, completely like no one knows, something like completely most confidential place, and we'll provide with all type of allurements, all type of required pleasures for your body and the senses. And we'll see to that your name and fame is completely intact. No one comes to know that you are engaging in all such activities. So wouldn't you accept it? When everything is provided, whatever, all pleasures, and you will be taken to such a place like no one come to know because you are celibate, but still you will not come to know. So wouldn't you accept it? So everyone was like, what is the expecting answer? What is the answer coming from this person? So he said that it makes no sense to this question. Because the question you ask him, wouldn't you accept it? It is like, it makes no difference. Whether you take me to a secluded place or whether you in front of everyone you provide, it is a consciousness in me that counts a lot. If from heartily, I have accepted all these things alluring, which you consider as a pleasurable and a palatable thing. I consider it the plate of stool. Even if you take me to a secluded place, do you expect I'll eat it? I'll never have it. It is the consciousness, it is the thought in your heart, what you have considered. That is the most important thing. Even like, that's why Srila Prabhupada was saying that this Krishna conscious movement is such a thing that we are producing first-class gentlemen. We are producing first-class gentlemen. Even if you take these people to a most filthiest place or such a places where people are committing the most abominable activity, still he will come out completely aloof. Why? Because it is a consciousness and the understanding that these are the source of misery. It is not the source of pleasure. However palatable, however the presentation or however nicely you produce it. But the understanding, if the person has got, that these are not the cause of pleasure. It is a cause of misery. So the here Lord clearly says, any pleasure, whether it may be visual or whether it may be pleasure to your skin or whether it may be pleasure to your tongue, any pleasure which arises for the sense pleasure, that is a source of misery. I'll just narrate one incident. Actually, this happened in 1996, during the centennial year of Srila Prabhupada. That time, Devamrit Prabhu, one of our leaders in our movement, he had arranged a debate competition. So that time, he had sent maximum of the congregation to different places. You go and preach. So he was mostly involving the students. Okay, you all go and preach. It was like a college competition, a debate competition of a particular subject. So some or the other, I had the opportunity to go along with some other students to Gulbarga, one of the places, one of the very big university of medical and engineering. So along with me and some other colleagues were there, they were medical students. So when we went inside the headmaster's, this thing, principal of that university, so then he was introduced that these are the medical students from Bombay and they are taken to Krishna consciousness and they have come to this, arrange this. So just by hearing that these students are medical students and engineering students, and he was stunned by their attire and their purpose of taking to this moment of devotional service. So the first question he asked, I'm really happy that you are taken to Vedic culture, but don't you think that you are missing something in your life? Something which the other whole student civilization, the enjoyment and the whatever pleasures, don't you think you're missing by getting into all this, what you call the ancestral living style? Don't you think it? So one of our students said that the problem is that the present student generation doesn't know what is the happiness we derive in the path of devotional service. When a person gets some higher taste, but naturally the lower taste, it completely get eradicated. You need not have to do specific endeavor to give up your lower activities. Prabhupada says that the problem is that people do not know what is higher pleasure. Something higher pleasure, we get it in Krishna consciousness. If you are not aware, then you'll never appreciate this Krishna conscious movement. We should know what is a pleasure, highest pleasure. The pleasure, if we get the highest pleasure, then but naturally, the lower pleasures will automatically be cleansed from the heart. The Prabhupada says one particular example, just like it is not easy to give up the temptation of the mind and the senses. But for example, like a beggar on the street, if he is surviving just on roti, if somebody comes and snatches that roti, do you think he will not rebel? But naturally he will rebel, because that is the only source of his belly problem. But if a person provides that person with a thali of chappan bhog or something much higher and tastier, without saying, that person can renounce that chapati or that roti. So similarly, this Krishna conscious movement, Prabhupada says that our movement is not that we artificially try to control our senses or try to restrain our senses from committing sinful activities. No, we simply dovetail and we seek the higher pleasure. If something highest pleasures are provided to a living entity, it is not much endeavor for the living entity to sacrifice the lower propensities. So that is very important. This Krishna consciousness, in this verse, Prabhupada says that how Krishna consciousness is the only source of pleasure, and all those pleasures, so-called pleasures, it is the cause of misery. That is what the Lord is saying. So really speaking, if we really analyze in a proper understanding, if we see, but naturally through the eyes, even through the eyes of a karmi or a materialistic person, really speaking, whatever pleasures, so-called pleasures, senses are really misery. Because Prabhupada says, how can we justify that The person is not in Krishna consciousness, he is miserable. It is a simple thing. Anything, if you are not satisfied, you want a change, that means you are not happy. In a life, if a person is, if whatever situation is placed, if he is not happy, he wants a change, then that means he is not happy in that situation. So we see in this outside world that people always want a change. Always want a change. Whatever pleasures, if you provide him the visual pleasure, still say, okay, something different. If you provide him a relationship pleasure, oh, okay, something different. If you provide him a palatable pleasure for the tongue, oh, okay, something. He can't continue with the same. Why? Because he's not getting pleasure in that particular thing. Satisfaction, if a person is satisfied, that he doesn't require. He's deriving some pleasure, then there is no need of a change. For example, like I'll just give an example, like normally, what does a person, outside person, like I was just speaking to some of the devotees who are working in the corporate offices. So I say, some devotees were saying, like normally, what is the schedule of Bombayites, like those who are staying in Bombay and who are working in the corporate offices? From Monday, weekends, Monday to Friday, slog like a donkey. Like 9 o'clock till approximately nowadays, it is midnight. Till midnight. And just on the Friday, end of Friday, okay, Saturday to Sunday is off. Maximum people, they spend in front of television. Weekend, killing their time. According to them, time pass. But actually, they are killing their time. But even in that pleasure, they constantly want to change. That's why the television industry has provided a remote. Because they also know that these pleasure cannot give complete satisfaction. Okay, change, keep on changing, keep on changing, keep on changing. Because matter cannot give happiness to the spirit. That is a matter. That is a dead matter. And the person who is observing is a spirit. So what is the expectation? What is the probability that the living, the spirit can derive happiness in the matter? You want to change, constantly changing. Even like, just like I said, that relationship. One of our medical doctors, Yugavatar Prabhu, like I was just hearing his discourse once, some of the devotees were asking you, don't you think, what is your realization in the medical science and people, especially in the college days? What do you think? Like, so he's saying, one thing I realized in college life, Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai. One thing he was saying, especially during the teens and during the college days, he was saying that I've seen many of my friends, often, that they have got very good partners, especially if there's a boy, he's got a very good, beautiful young girl, that is normal tendency, especially in the city life and everything. But he's saying that the thing what he has observed is that even though if a person has got a very beautiful partner, within few days he's still searching for something else. He has got a good person, but still is not satisfied. Because why Prabhupada clarifies? Why? What is the problem? The problem is the pleasures are temporary. Pleasures are temporary. This body itself is temporary. Anything connected to this body is temporary. Whether it's happiness or distress or pleasure or suffering, everything is temporary. So, similarly, like people, that's why Prabhupada clarifies that no material adjustments or allurements can satisfy. Even some people may think that getting fame, being famous in society, you will derive a lot of pleasure, you will be happy. That is also not possible. Because, and some may think that even by accumulating a lot of wealth, people will be happy. Even that is not possible. Because it is a practical realization, once in our moment, Mr. Alfred Ford, his name is Ambarish Prabhu, had come and he was giving a lecture and he was saying, ki my dear friends, really speaking, up on the top, there is nothing. It is completely, you can say, impersonalism, completely vacuum. What you consider that being on the top of the rich billionaires, you will be, your position is secure. Mind so. Take my words. It is not so. Because the position, even if a person is, he thinks that I'll, by accumulating wealth and being there, you think he'll ever secure? No. There are people who are constantly waiting to pull you down. Because what type of happiness will you derive? Even in the case of fame, like something that, why, let me be a most famous person. Especially India is at present situation, they consider whom as their idols. They consider the cricket stars and the Bollywood stars as their idols. But really speaking, their lifestyle, we should ask them only. You can answer, consider that personally they don't have any privacy in their life. A common sane man, whoever, he can go on the street any time in the day or any time in the night and he can buy anything from any shop. But this person, before stepping down, he has to think, oh, is the place completely secure? Oh, will people not torture me by their autographs and everything? Or even if he has to go to some restaurant, first he has to think. He has to go to such elite restaurants where who can really afford, they can come, not that any common man. So all these thoughts count. And even if a person is very famous, the other people are waiting for him. Okay, well, he'll be put down. One of our devotees was saying, mostly in this Bollywoods and everything, if there's a main actor, he sees to that others should not come up. If there is, first of all, he says to the director, okay, whoever actor, first just remove his screens off. Because if he becomes famous, do you think I'll be secured? No. So anything, whichever is connected to this sense pleasures will never give us happiness. That is a source of misery. So that's why Prabhupada says that our Krishna conscious movement is something different. Because from 5,000 years, we have been doing the same activity. So this is a clarification, this is a confirmation that this movement is giving the highest of all pleasure. You can say it is a preliminary test to prove how this Krishna conscious movement is the source of all pleasure. That we are not changing anything. From 5,000 years onwards, this book has been read by great saintly Vaishnavas. And till today, Samadhyar who wants to get enlightenment in his life, he is still trying to take shelter of this book. This is a Bhagavad Gita sung from 5,000 years back. And we are chanting the same mantra, which is still beyond years back from Satya Yuga onwards. You can say millions of years. There's no change. Attire is the same, wearing the Vedic cultural dress. Prabhupada said that is the confirmation. This is a basic understanding that if a person is satisfied in his heart, whatever he gets is satisfied, that is an indication that that person is happy. And that moment, happiness can only come into Krishna consciousness. Only by taking to the path of devotional service, one will be really satisfied from the core of his heart. So Prabhupada is saying, specifically, that why in Krishna consciousness, what is something that's special? That's why Prabhupada in this purport saying, there's Ramanti Yogina Ananti. Because the source from where we are trying to derive pleasure, the source is the ocean of pleasure. Ramanti, Lord Rama. Ram means the source of all pleasure. So if a person, even if he wants happiness, if he completely understands that this the source is the ocean of pleasure, then but naturally the living entities will derive pleasure. That is intelligent man. That is intelligence. So Prabhupada, here one statement is saying, sense pleasure eradicate only by getting higher pleasures. That's why Prabhupada, just like I mentioned, that our movement, Prabhupada in that beginning of this, purport of Hare Krishna Mahamantra, he says that this Krishna conscious movement is not an artificial imposition on the mind. It is not an artificial imposition. Something which you are doing, which is not, it is something artificial. It is a natural instinct of the living entity to love God. It is a natural instinct. It is a natural nature of the living entity to love God. So this lower taste can only go when we have got the higher taste. That's why Prabhupada says that one should be attached to the movement philosophically. It is not a sentimentalist movement. There is a famous saying of Prabhupada in every books and every line. Religion without philosophy is simply sentimentalism. It is sentimentalism. It is simply, okay, I like it. Today I like to chant. I like to dance. That is sentiment. And philosophy without religion is mental speculation. That goes to the great scholars and who are highly intelligent saying, oh, I think this world was formed due to some bang or something, and big word theories which common man cannot understand. So both are important. But main thing is that if a person understands, why am I doing this Krishna conscious movement? What is the purpose? That's why Prabhupada says, so this Vedic literature has been provided that even a common man can understand that how he should get out of the cycle of birth, death, old age and disease. This is the basic understanding of human civilization. That's why philosophically, that's why Prabhupada says that we have written so many books, so many literatures. If any common man, if he utilizes the facility of this Krishna conscious movement by reading this book, philosophically, if you are attached, then you will understand what is the importance. Especially even on a long-term run in our movement, to the path of Krishna consciousness. Because this movement, Krishna conscious movement, it is a lifelong project. It is not that few years. Like some people have the habit of taking vrat. Vrat means oath. How many years oath? 5 years oath. How many years oath? 10 years oath. How many years? 2 years oath. Some regulation in their life. But this movement, this path of devotional service is a lifelong project. It's a lifelong commitment. It's a commitment that my Lord, from today onwards, I want to sacrifice my life in your service. That's a commitment. So that commitment, if he has to go on a long term, then he has to be philosophically very strong. Because these words are not the words of a common man. These words are the words of the Supreme Lord emanating from the mouth of a pure devotee. That is very important. Because those words, it is like the ripened fruit of a Vedic tree. They are already ripened. But along with it is being touched by the lips of a pure devotee, that but naturally cleanses the shed of iris within our heart. Whatever filthy thoughts or whatever contaminated thoughts are there, it but naturally cleanses, because so much power is there in those words. So that's why Prabhupada says that one should be philosophically take to this Krishna consciousness movement. And then Prabhupada clearly mentions, he is putting specifically the verse in this purport. Prabhupada particularly mentions the verse of Lord Rishabhdev. Nayam deho bhagavatam rinam loke. Specifically, that this human form of life is meant for tapasya. It is meant for penance. It is not meant for sense enjoyment, like which lower propensities of animal life, animal civilization, like the stool eating hogs and dogs are deriving. This is not meant for that. It is meant for penance, to attain the higher goal of your life, highest goal of your life. That's why Prabhupada is specifically mentioning, Prabhupada says the translation, my dear sons, there is no reason to labor very hard for sense pleasure while in this human form of life. Such pleasures are available to the stool eaters, hogs. Rather, you should undergo penance in this life by which your existence will be purified. It is available for stool eating hogs. Only thing, the situation may be a little bit comfortable and cozy, but activity is the same. Activity is the same. Even if you are placed in a high skyscraper, what is the use if your consciousness is lower than the dogs? Consciousness is, body is awarded, okay, proceed toward the kingdom of God, but we are proceeding toward the kingdom of hell. What is the use? That's why Prabhupada says these activities are easily available. You need not have to endeavor. It is easily available for the stool eating hogs. That is what the indication. That's why. So sometimes, like Prabhupada, many in our movement, especially one is not introduced to Krishna consciousness, may say that you are doing all this whatever you so-called penances, what you are considering, that is like torturing your own body. Unnecessarily torturing your own body. What type of pleasure is that? That is foolish mentality. Rather than be merry, happy, go lie. What is it? Unnecessarily punishing your body. But that is our own understanding. But have we asked those persons who are following the path of Krishna consciousness? Prabhupada says, what tapasya is there in this moment? It is chant Hare Krishna and be happy. We get up early in the morning, do the chant in front of the Lord, sing the beautiful prayers to the Lord, chant His holy name. That is not tapasya. It is a pleasure. It is a pleasure. In Srimad Bhagavatam, in the chapter of Dhruva Maharaj, Prabhupada mentions one particular place that in the age of Satyayuga, Dhruva Maharaj performed tapasya, and it was a very severe tapasya. It was not an ordinary tapasya, standing on one leg, and he meditated on the Supreme Personality Godhead, and within 6 months, the Lord appeared in front of his eyesight. So Prabhupada mentions in that particular purport that of course, for a boy of 5 years, it is a very severe tapasya. But that same amount of tapasya and the same amount of result can be derived in the age of Kali Yuga by simply following the four regulative principles and chanting 16 rounds. The same result which Dhruva Maharaj achieved in the age of Satyayuga can be easily derived by a common man if he sincerely follows his four regulative principles and chants the holy name of the Lord. So this is not a tapasya. When a person but naturally derives a pleasure in Krishna consciousness, it's not a tapasya. It is a pleasure. Our movement of Krishna consciousness, it is a disciplic successional movement coming from the Supreme Lord. And there are great many stalwart acharyas like Roop Sanatan and Das Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami. Really speaking, if you see in their history, they were coming from a very multinational, like multi-billionaire backgrounds, aristocratic living style. But what was their lifestyle? Tyaktva turunamashesha mandalapati shrenim sada tuchavad. Tyaktva turunamashesha mandalapati. Prabhupada says, do you think they are fools? Coming from such an aristocratic background and performing tapasya, do you think fools? No. That pleasure was much more higher than these tuchcha pleasures, these lower pleasures. But naturally, the heart is inclined. When the pleasure is highest, then the lower pleasures are nothing. It is like pauper's pleasure. Tyaktva turunam. That way, like, especially when Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami was coming from the Majumdar's family. But what a lifestyle. He sacrificed everything. Why? Because he knew. What is these pleasures? These temporal pleasures, will they ever satisfy my heart? No. My only pleasure is constantly chanting the holy name of the Lord. Sitting under the Kadamba tree and Radha Kund, chanting the holy names of the Lord. Because those pleasures are like insurmountable. We cannot describe this pleasure. Only like Prabhupada says, the taste of the pudding is by tasting. Taste of the pudding can be known by eating. Only when you taste it, then you will come to know. That's why Prabhupada says, we welcome. You come and see our movement. You take to this Krishna conscious movement. Then, but naturally you will come to know what is the highest pleasure. A hungry person need not have to be, when his belly is full, ill, but naturally come to know that I am satisfied. Swamin kritarthosmin varam na jayate. I am satisfied, my Lord. That is important. And this Krishna conscious movement is providing that. Swamin kritarthosmin. I am satisfied. This movement is a movement of satisfaction. When the complete satisfaction, happiness means it should come from the heart. It is not connected to the body. That is not happiness. That may be some type of joy. Happiness means should be from the heart. Unbounding happiness. Anything happiness. But this Krishna conscious movement is giving the happiness to the heart. Not to the bodily pleasures. Then he will be eternally happy. That's why Prabhupada was saying in this He quotes one very good example that what is the highest pleasure? He quotes from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rup Goswami's statement that how by getting the highest pleasure, the lower propensities but naturally go away. So Prabhupada, in one of the lectures, he was saying that Rup Goswami, because Rup Goswami, he is the Acharya in our Sampradaya. So he, normally whenever he writes in the poem form, a singing way. So there he is quoting in one of the this thing, he is saying a conversation, he is quoting a conversation between two gopis. So Prabhupada is speaking in his lecture that Rup Goswami is quoting this particular instant. So he is saying that one gopi is saying to the other gopi that, my dear gopi, my dear friend Sakhi, if you want to be in a socialite club, if you want to be in your social gatherings, your friends, your family members, and your so-called sensual friends, then you don't look at one person. Then you don't look at one person. Who is that person? Prabhupada saying, who is that person? That person is a boy. He is very beautiful boy. He's a very beautiful, good-looking, charming boy. And what is he doing? Under the Kadamba tree, at the banks of Yamuna, under the moon, full moon light, he is playing that flute. Don't look at that boy. Don't look at that boy. Why? Because once if you look at that boy, then all your pleasures, all your so-called pleasures of your friends and family, that will be stolen away by that beauty. Don't look at that boy. That beauty is so charming. That beauty is so charming. That whoever is attracted to that beauty, but naturally all these false beauties are eradicated. That false beauty is completely removed from his heart. So Prabhupada says, don't, that beauty, that is the power of the beauty of the Lord. Just by looking at the beauty of the Lord, that lower propensities but naturally go away. So that's why Prabhupada is saying that how can we develop that beauty? This Krishna conscious movement, one of our prominent leaders in a movement, he was saying that this movement is a movement to make people mad after Krishna. To be mad after Krishna. In the year 1944, when Srila Prabhupada was started the Back to Godhead magazine, so in one of his articles, the first page, first one of the articles he writes, that main article, who is crazy? Who is crazy? The Krishna conscious devotees, they consider materialistic are crazy, and they consider devotees are crazy. So everyone is crazy. But the problem is, we are crazy after whom? That is important. Everyone is crazy. That is true. It goes without saying. Some people are crazy after money. Some people are crazy after sports. Some people are crazy. So even devotees also want to be crazy. But we want to be crazy after a person who is very beautiful. That is Krishna. We want to be crazy after Krishna. We want to be mad after Krishna. That's why this movement, like it is said that our life should be flooded in Krishna consciousness. It should be flooded in Krishna consciousness. Like normally, if you see, especially, of course, not in Bombay, but in village, wherever, if you go to some villages, whenever there's a rainfall, heavy rainfall, downpour, so that time, before the monsoon seasons, there are a lot of weeds in the fields. A lot of plants, which are unnecessary plants, are grown. A lot of weeds. And normally you can't chop off those weeds. It takes a heavy labor. It is not so easy. So a lot of weeds are grown before the monsoon. But when there is a heavy downpour, when there is a heavy downpour of rainfall, then once the fields are completely flooded with water, then automatically those weeds, they are destroyed. They rot. But naturally from the root, they are destroyed. So similarly, if our lives are flooded in Krishna consciousness, then the weeds of these filthy thoughts are automatically destroyed. The problem is that we are not flooded in Krishna consciousness. That's why these allurements are disturbing. If our lives are flooded in Krishna consciousness, then the propensity of committing sinful activities is completely eradicated. That's why in Bhagavatam, when Sukadeva Goswami comes to the chapter of 5th canto, that time explaining all the hellish conditions, then when he proceeds to the 6th canto, that time Parikshit Maharaj's first question is, "My Lord, you have explained all these propensities, but can you explain me how one should get completely free of this sinful propensity? How one should get free of this propensity? He knows that it is wrong. He knows that it is fault. But still, that desire is so deeply rooted. How should he get out of this material desire?" That time, Sukadeva Goswami quotes, "Kechit kevalaya bhakta Vasudeva parayana." Simply by hearing the narrations of Vasudeva Katha, Nihara Iva Bhaskara, just like the sun, it is so powerful that all the filthy things in this world are completely destroyed by the rays of the sun. Similarly, just by the presence of the Supreme Lord, by taking to this process of devotional service, everything is eradicated. That is the power of path of devotional service, Krishna consciousness. So this doesn't require much endeavor. Only thing we have to be completely mad after Krishna. How can we get this madness? How can we get this propensity, highest pleasure for the service of the Lord? What is the madness? What is the cost? Prabhupada says that at any cost, whatever the cost may be, we should be ready to buy this Krishna consciousness. Whatever, however costly it may be, a person wants to progress on the path of devotional service, he should be ready to pay for the payment. "I am ready, my Lord. Whatever." And what is the payment? Tatra laulyam eka moulyam. Only, what is the moulya? What is the moulya? Laulyam, eagerness. That eagerness to love Krishna. Tatra laulyam eka moulyam. That is the only pleasure. That is the only price we have to pay. That is important. Eagerness. Eagerness to love Krishna. Eagerness to develop Krishna. And it is not that, Prabhupada says that, it is not that we have accepted the Supreme Lord Krishna as the most attractive person. So many acharyas in our disciplic succession, they have accepted. And that pleasure what we derive is completely highest. It's completely highest. One of our acharyas from the Dravida Desha, who is coming from the Madhva line, Purandara Das, he says, one of his bhajans, he says, E pariya swabhagu, e pariya swabhagu, innava devarai kaanike. Gopi tanaya gopala valladi. That is pariya swabhagu. E pariya swabhagu means this beauty of Krishna, no gods and demigods have got. E pariya swabhagu innava devare kaani. That so many gods and demigods are there. Sun, Surya, Chandra, Vayu, Varuna. So many are there. But that beauty, Gopi Tanaya, the son of Gopi, Yashodamaya's son, Gopi, Gopal, what beauty he has got, no gods and demigods have ever got it. So that beauty is so much attractive. And the entire gist of this verse is that once if a person has attraction for that beauty, then but naturally he'll consider all the pleasure to be a source of misery. Whatever pleasures, external pleasures, whatever it may be, he'll consider as a source of misery. If he has got that attraction for Krishna, that attraction is very important. Rukmini, just by hearing that Krishna is very beautiful, he's a very handsome man, he's a very good looking, charming, he's a very chivalrous person, his hairs are very beautiful. Just by hearing the description of the beauty of Krishna, she developed attraction for Krishna. And she had only one determination. If I ever have to marry, then my only husband should be Krishna. At any cost. That is important. So Prabhupada says that our purpose of moment is just you should give an oral reception to the words who are explaining the beauty of Krishna. When a person gives an oral reception to the words of a pure devotee who is explaining the beauty of Krishna, then but naturally the attraction for Krishna is developed within the heart. That attraction will but naturally be evoked within the heart. Just similarly, the example of the Brahmin wives, they never saw Krishna. They never saw Krishna. But just by hearing the beauty of Krishna from the residents of Vrindavan, they just by hearing that, then but naturally they developed attraction for Krishna. So do you think this moment is a moment of tapasya? No. When it is not a surprise, it is not a surprise that why a person who has taken to path of devotional service will not commit sinful activities. It is not a surprise. But because once if his heart is sold out to Krishna, do you think he'll ever commit such filthy activities? No. It is not a surprise. He is attracted. He has given his heart. He is hankering for that pleasure. It is not a surprise. That's why Prabhupada had complete guarantee. He said, you test any of my disciples. Though they are born in Western countries, though they are their background, their civilization was breaking all the regulations, they are more better than any of the Brahmins. Which person can ever do that? Following Ekadashi, following the regulative principle, chanting the 16 rounds so sincerely, worshipping the Archavigra of the Lord. How can that come? Because it is a natural instinct to love Krishna. Once that seed is sown, but naturally the fructification will be there. So our moment is just to sow the seed within the heart of the living entity. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem Sadhya Kabunai. Attraction is basna there. You just have to water it. Attraction but naturally develop. So there is need not have to be specific endeavor to give up the lower propensities. Just dotail your activities in Krishna consciousness. Just put positive in your life by adding Krishna. When Krishna comes to some place, any particular place, all the dirty things have to automatically be moved out. Krishna means pure. And wherever he is situated, everything is pure. There is no filthy thoughts. Krishna is the purest of the pure. So only thing, when the Lord is there within a heart, only thing we have to call Krishna within a heart. If Krishna is welcome within the heart, naturally the filthy thoughts within the heart will be, they'll walk away. It'll like evaporated. So the whole, this thing, understanding, I'll just conclude that this is what the understanding of this verse. Yeah, Krishna says an intelligent person does not take part in the source of misery. This is intelligence. Intelligence is that now I've got human life. Now I should know how I should develop attraction for Krishna. And if we get that, then we consider our life worthwhile living in this human civilization. Hare Krishna. Is there any questions?
Hare Krishna. Thank you for your kind lecture. This bhakti process is given the topmost process to means glorify the Lord, bhakti, to do bhakti for the God. So sometimes I think that if bhakti can be done, if there is something, we have something to do bhakti, but since that bhakti is created in our heart, until and unless Krishna gives the blessings. Krishna also, if Krishna pleases, then only this bhakti can come from one's heart. Sometimes I fail to understand that how Krishna will initiate this bhakti. And bhakti is the ultimate in this Kali Yuga. All the yoga and all this is not given importance. Only chanting and doing bhakti is very important. So even if one can do bhakti, that sanction is required from Krishna. Is that right or what?
Yeah, nice question. But that is true, that without the mercy of the Lord, one cannot take to the path of devotional service. But at the same time, the Lord has already provided his mercy by giving us a chance. The independence is there. Independence, human civilization, the Lord has already provided the chance. And the Lord doesn't interfere in our independence. But of course, it is even our desire also counts. The Lord is surely is a sanctioning person. And even our desire counts, that how much do we want to take to the path of devotional service. That Atato Brahma Jigyas is very important. Now you have got under human life, that is very important. But at the same time, more than the mercy of the Lord, the mercy of the devotees is very important. Even today we are sitting in this presence of this, the Supreme Lord, Radha Gopinath. It is not because of our particular endeavor, it is because of some devotee's mercy. These both things counts. Like, devotee's mercy is there, and at the same time, how much do you take it? That is also important. When coming to Yuma, like someone asked Prabhupada, that Prabhupada, what is the blame of this? What is the problem? What is wrong on these materialistic people? They are ignorant. They don't know. They don't know the science of devotional service. So what is the problem? Why they should suffer? So Prabhupada, that is not an excuse. Ignorance is not an excuse. They are supposed to inquire. When they do those activities, don't they come to know they are committing wrong? If someone is stealing, doesn't he come to know it is wrong? Or if someone is doing something, doesn't he come to know it is wrong? So ignorance is not an excuse. Of course, mercy is required and mercy is provided. But at the same time, how much do you require? How much do you endeavor to get that mercy? There is a normal saying that Lord helps those who help themselves. Sometimes, like main thing is your desire. Like why I just said that one particular, that eagerness. How much do you desire? When anything, this is a common sense. Like when a liquor bottle is kept and a milk bottle is kept, it is a normal intelligence which the Lord has provided through His mercy, that you are supposed to know which is good and which is bad. It is a normal intelligence. So similarly, sinful activities, you are not supposed to. That is why the Vedic scriptures are given for the human beings, not to the animals. So the mercy is there. The Lord has already given the mercy. Once then when you take to shelter, the Lord will wait. Once you take the surrender, shelter of the Lord, then the Lord will take your reins in His hand. He will not unnecessarily endeavor. The mercy is already provided. Mercy is provided. How much do you endeavor? Like the water is there, but at least a horse should do the endeavor and going and drinking the water. The mercy is there. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given to everyone. And specifically for those who are in the moment of Krishna conscious, okay, because due to our compassion, we should see, okay, they are not interested, we'll go and distribute this mercy. But for a normal person, he should inquire. That's why human life, you can say, oh, he didn't knew it. You are supposed to know it. Because human life is awarded to a person who is eligible. After doing so many pious activities, now we inquire. So you are supposed to know it. That's why after death, when the reaction is that a person who doesn't misuse, who misuses his independence, he is sent to the hellish planet. Why? Because human life is supposed to inquire. The mercy of God is there. How much do you inquire? So that is what, first of all, the Lord sees our endeavor as well as the same. Once you take this facility, then the Lord will but naturally help it to grow. That is important. Does it answer your question?
Thank you, Prabhu, for such a beautiful class. Prabhu, while you were speaking, one question just arise in my mind. As you told that lalyam is the price, that we should be very, very eager. So can you tell us how we can be eager?
Yeah, same question. Then Prabhupada continues. Lalyam ekamatra molyam. That eagerness. So then if you say, yes, I am eager. No, not that. Janma koti se sukriti. It is not, even after performing millions of tapasya, that eagerness will not come by your own endeavor. It requires then the association of the devotees. Being in the association of the devotees, that eagerness will come. Just being in the association, that's why sadhu sangha is very important. When you see the others are eager for Krishna, then you will say, okay, I should also be eager to Krishna. It is a contagious disease to be eager to after Krishna. That eagerness will not come our own endeavor. Being in those people who are eager for Krishna, then that eagerness will be developed. being in the association, being with those people who are affected by their disease of loving Krishna, then that will come. Being subservient to them, serving them, then that eagerness Lord will give. That prize is with the Lord. That will only come being in the association. That eagerness. And if seeing our sincere desire, like that's why Prabhupada say that one should, this moment is like a moment of begging the Lord, pleading the Lord, my Lord, please, I know that I'm the most fallen, please give me that eagerness. So being in the association of those people and giving the like oral reception, the words of pure devotees like Srila Prabhupada, then but naturally that eagerness will be developed. Just being in the association. That's that answer. Last question.
Sorry, Prabhu, I don't have a question, but I have a request. Prabhu, if you could repeat that poetry again, I'm very eager to know. Don't look at that boy.
Yeah,
please.
That exact quotation, I'll repeat it, but exact line you will get in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, where Rupa Goswami mentions it. It is like, that's why I said that Rupa Goswami, whatever books he writes, like Laghu Bhagavata Amrita or Ujjwal Neelamani, whatever books he wrote, he mostly wrote in the poem way. So there he just mentions the attraction for Krishna. This is a saying in Vrindavan, like this is a gopi, she is saying to one of her gopis, Sakhi. She is saying that, my dear Sakhi, if you want to be in the midst of all your friend circles, at present for our understanding, like being in the social groups of the civilization and or your friend circles or family people or everything, being in your own world of allurements, then you don't look at that boy, that person who is standing. He's a very beautiful boy. He's standing under the kadamba tree playing his flute under the full moonlight and is so beautiful that just by his beauty, he'll steal away that desires within your heart. Then you can enjoy no more. The problem lies with you. You will suffer. You will suffer. You will lose all your material desires if you look at that boy. That beauty is so attractive. Prabhupada says that is the beauty of Krishna. Just if that beauty is there, if you are attracted, that beauty once is situated in the heart, then but naturally the propensity will go away. Of course, you can refer to Rupa Goswami. His lines are meant, the essence I told you, but that is what we should be attracted. That's why Prabhupada said that is what we want. This lecture I was hearing, Prabhupada said that is what we want. We just want that beauty of Krishna. If we are attracted to that beauty of Krishna, then let Krishna steal all our material desires. We want Krishna to steal everything from our heart and place himself within our heart. That is what this verse says about that. Shrimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai.